Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance, a special night, special edition. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hello, Becky.
So a couple weeks ago in March, we were supposed to do Whitney, My Love by Judith McNutt. But then Leah decided that it would be fun to lick hobos, I think, and got the flu.
We got the plague.
Yeah.
The entire family.
Stop licking public guardrails and handrails.
I don't have public guardrails or handrails in my town.
I'm just saying you licked something and you got the flu.
I live. There are not handrails anywhere.
You got the flu.
I'm lucky we have sidewalks.
Did you lick the sidewalk?
I mean, I don't have a sidewalk in front of my house, so no.
So did you eat the dirt? Is that how you got the flu? You ate the dirt?
The dirt would be probably better for me than anything else. Let me tell you, 10 out of 10 do not recommend all four people who live in your house having the flu at the same time.
It's not a good time.
Not a good time.
It's really not the good time if one person gets it.
Especially when the boy child is the first one who is, I mean, he was the first one sick, but the first one better also. So then you have to like wake up at a god-awful hour while you have the flu to get him up to go to school because alarms don't wake him up.
Your life is so glamorous. Fun. So glamorous.
It's okay. We feel better now, although everybody still has like a lingering cough.
Yeah. But Leah read
the book.
We really
needed to talk about this book.
Yeah. Leah read this book. Amanda read this book. And instead of just Amanda and I doing the episode, I felt it was really important for us to reschedule and do it so Leah could be a part of it. Not that Amanda wouldn't have had plenty of things to talk about in this book, because it's a beefy beast. And I forgot how beefy of a beast this book is.
It's very beefy.
Yeah.
Here, I'm gonna give you the page number.
Like 704 or something, right? Or 700 and something.
Something. And it didn't feel beefy reading it as mass market.
739.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a beefy. She's a beefy lady.
Oddly enough, it really does not read like a 739 page book. Like there are like some places where I'm like, it reads more like a 600-page book than a 700-page book.
Okay.
It reads long. It is a saga.
It does read long.
It's a saga. There were a couple parts. So we'll get into all that. Let's first give everybody. So today we are reviewing Whitney, My Love by Judith McNutt. This is book one in the Westmoreland Dynasty Saga. That is the actual series name, is the Westmoreland Dynasty Saga. And it is a saga.
It is a saga.
So who wants to tell us all the things?
I can. I just have to get my screen.
Oh, if you don't have it up, I can do it. It's fine.
No, my one window disappeared. I had to find it. Things to know before we start. The release date was 1985. It was historical Regency romance. Arranged marriage, deception trope, love triangle, age gap, enemies to lovers, alcohol, virgin heroine, rags to riches, and a rebellious heroine. It is the Westmoreland Dynasty Saga series, and saga is very apropos here. It is a standalone. It is multi-third person. The put-out percentage is 57%. And it does not have an audiobook anywhere. And content warnings, it is non-con dubious consent.
Yeah. And I think
I say more non-con than dubious consent, but
I have to say before we start, like, so I read the author's note at the beginning of the book, and she said that, yes, you know, she wanted like more, you know, more in her historical romance. So she wrote this like back in, I think it said 1970. So
yeah,
by the time it was published, she had already been, you know, writing and trying to sell this for, you know, a number of years.
She got rejected. Like, if you read the full author's note, she got rejected like two or three times, but each time she got that rejection, she like added more ridiculous to it. She's like, well, if you're gonna reject it, I'm gonna make it more.
Yeah,
make it exactly what I want it to be.
And I think that's one of the reasons, like, as I was reading it, like, it didn't bug me because like I could appreciate like, almost like the pettiness that went
Yeah.
into the writing. And we, as we all know, petty pants are my favorite
They are your
pants.
favorite
Yeah.
pants. Well,
So
and the thing about it
I
is,
enjoyed
if
that.
you read that author's note, which is a very interesting author's note, and you can, if you are, this is available in Kindle Unlimited right now. So if you go over, you can like look at the sample or download it, but you read it, you find out she left a very prestigious job in finance to start writing. Whitney, My Love is the first book she ever wrote, but it is not the first book of hers that was published. And again, she wanted it to be over the top and to have a little bit of darkness before there was like before there really was like dark romance. So I did a little research and I'm going to share this because it so there really is dark romance in historical romance from this time period, and those are considered the bodice rippers. Lots of Joanna Lindsay's are considered that. You have Kathleen Woodwiss. So Whitney, My Love was not the first bodice ripper, but it did redefine the genre and help evolve it into something more emotionally complex and romantic. It shifted the tone from pure heaving bosoms and swashbuckling heroes with dubious morals to something that leaned more heavily into relationship development and emotional payoff. And I will say, I do feel like this is one of those books that does set the standards for the emotional payoff in the end.
Yeah.
You don't think so, Amanda? It's
Oh
okay
yeah,
for you.
I'm nodding my head.
Oh,
Yes,
okay. I was like,
it was
'cause
very slight.
I'm sorry. No, I'm nodding. Yeah.
It's okay if you didn't. I just,
Yes,
no, I
I
did.
am nodding.
I just feel like Whitney. So this was part of the theme of Becky is going to make people read the books Becky wants people to read,
Yes.
and this is probably the first. So in 2017, Whitney, My Love, all of. Up and until 2017, 16, 17, Judith McNaught's books were not available as ebooks. The ebooks did not get published until 2016, 2017. It had to do with her, how she wanted her pen name to go. She did not plan to, she is not writing anymore. She hasn't written since Perfect, maybe? There might be one more book after Perfect. She hasn't written probably since the early aughts.
Yeah,
And she didn't
really
plan
hard.
to. She makes enough money, lives very well. Her finance job is still paying off, and she's still alive. So she's not dead, but she had no plans. So she didn't feel that it was that her books belonged in ebook form. So it took.
Yeah, that's
But
fair.
she's very old school too,
Yeah.
though.
So it took her a little while to agree to that. So it wasn't until 2016, 2017, her books came into ebook form. And I don't know that I read Whitney, My Love when that came out. I went back and I had read Almost Heaven. I read a couple of other books, Something Special. And I think it's not The Joining. The his ancestors book. I did read that one.
Oh,
I know
Okay.
what you mean, but I can't think of the name of it. Yeah.
Royce's book. Because I will tell you, there's definitely Royce's book was written after Whitney, My Love came out. Like she went back because of the tradition of yelling, "This is my wife," and any at the wedding reception that he does.
Yeah.
That's in that first book. Kingdom Something. Yes, it's Kingdom Something is Royce's book. So I don't know that I read Whitney, My Love. So I feel like this is the first time in Becky's modern era right now that I've read this book. And sadly, there are a lot of things that bugged me in this book that if I hadn't reread it, I never would have like been like, I still would have been like, this is my all-time favorite romance.
Yeah, but I mean, I can see where you're coming from when you read it originally, you
Yeah.
know. And I think because I don't remember a lot of like the historicals that I read before, that it was just like I was reading them way too young that I don't remember like a ton of them. So mine were my memories
You
are of
also,
a little older ones or a little newer ones, I guess. So, but I can totally see it.
you also have to think this came out in 1985. You
Yeah.
probably read it in the 90s.
Oh, absolutely. 91, 92,
Like
93.
your
Yeah.
mindset
Yeah.
many years ago was very different than your, like, the way you think now. Because I know at 16 and, well, 14, 15, 16, when I like was reading, like, in the heyday of my romance, stealing from my mama, like, I was in a very different mindset and thought process than I am now in my 40s. So it's like when you're rereading some of the books that you read when you were younger, like they hit very differently now, especially since you're married with kids.
Yeah, and I did the same thing when we were doing this. I took one of the ones that I actually remembered and reread it like during March so that I could have
And
like
it
that
probably hit
same.
different as
Oh,
well.
yeah, it was way different.
But it's like, because our mindsets are different. The
Yeah.
way of the world is very different than
Well, I mean, and we're,
1985 when
we
she was
weren't,
writing it.
you know, I was younger, so I hadn't experienced any kind of real
Heartbreak.
relationship at that
Yeah. No, I agree.
Like we were still very naive and dumb.
Yeah.
Okay, so things that you guys should know. At the time that this book was published, so her first two books were actually contemporaries, published Tender Triumph in 1983 and Double Standard in 1984. She kept getting rejected because this book was too long and too emotional. But when she rewrote major portions of the book before publication to make Clayton more sympathetic, which he needed because I still had problems forgiving.
Wait, she had to make him more sympathetic? Like, how
Yeah,
bad
I'm looking
was
at your
he?
notes
Because,
now. Like, he was
whoa,
darker.
darker.
dude was not sympathetic really at all. Like, I
No.
don't know if I like him still.
At the time, romance novels were usually paperback-only prints, with publishers assuming romance readers wouldn't pay more for a hardcover. Whitney, My Love became one of the first historical romance to be released as a hardcover, helping to legitimize the romance fiction as a genre worthy of literary respect and higher price points. Judith McNaught was part of a wave of authors who brought romance out of the cheap throwaway category into the bestseller list. Which, okay, so I am kind of glad we did it because I think we need the reminder from where we have come from. Romance was a throwaway, and I know that recently we've been having conversations in Discord about lots of people talking about how romance is fast fashion. These people have no fucking clue.
Because they're
No.
babies. They're babies.
Now look at our hardcovers, right? Stacy says, now look at our hard, right? With all the sprayed edges and now
Yeah.
everybody only wants paperback. So I heard a rumor that Elsie Silver's first book from Atria, they are going to have a hardback release.
Is it gonna only be hardback?
I bet for you at least the first 6 months it's hardback only.
They're rolling old school.
Yep.
Do you know how
Oh,
angry those
people are gonna
else?
lose their shit. Oh, well,
Mean,
that's what I
I
said,
you
like
know
earlier
what?
in my post. Like, people need to go back to the 80s and the 90s where we got a book.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a great author, sometimes you got two books out of them a year, but that was very rare.
Well,
But
you'd
the
get the
way they're
hardback
doing
and the
hardbacks
paperback
now,
from
you
the.
got the hardback, and
Yeah.
then it was like a good 6 months. If that hardback didn't
Oh,
sell
yeah.
super great, like you had at least 6 months. And now if it was like a high selling book, it was like a year sometimes.
But how many versions of a book at $26, $27 can you afford?
Too many.
Well, we're not talking about us.
No, I'm just.
Because as I look at my
Oh,
Alex
can I
Astor in
afford,
Love,
or
oh, well, yeah,
do
it's not
I
a
buy
can I afford it?
anyway?
It's do I buy it anyway?
Right.
Yeah. Because I just got the rest of my hoard in the other day. I did not need those. I should not have spent the money, but I did.
Okay,
And
so I
they are
was
so
wrong.
pretty.
She wasn't in finance, she was in radio and television. Commercial
Oh,
news
okay.
broadcasting and negotiated better contracts and understand the business side of publishing. So she, and I had heard this about her before, Judith McNaught was a trailblazer as far as author compensation and royalties within the romance genre. So they weren't giving them out previously, but she pushed and got them. And then they became the standard. Okay, and we'll talk about the book next, but I want to say this. The title was a compromise. She did not like this title.
Do we know what it was originally called?
It Judith McNaught did not come up with the title Whitney, My Love Herself. The publisher wanted something emotional and direct. Judith McNaught originally thought the title was too melodramatic, even for a sweeping romance, but she ended up agreeing, and now it's iconic, though it still makes more modern readers tilt their head. Really? I don't know what it was previous. Judith McNaught has said in interviews that Clayton Westmoreland is the least favorite of her heroes to this day, precisely because of how harsh he was early on. She sees him as a product of his time, but later heroes like Matthew from Paradise and Ian from Almost Heaven were more in line with how she wanted to portray men who grew and changed. And those are two of my very favorite heroes of hers. But okay, let's talk about Mr. Clayton.
Quick point out too, though, in the author's note, and this may have some bearing on how she felt about it, she named these characters after her children. I'm just saying.
Clayton and Whitney are her children?
Yes, they're her son and daughter's names. And I was like, that's a choice.
Essentially, because he was such an asshole. But I will say, one of the reasons I loved this book, Whitney is not a wallflower.
No.
She was smart, but she wasn't given the sweeping term of a blue stocking or awkward because she was smart. She was just smart. But she was daring. Go ahead.
She was a round peg in a square hole, though. Also, like, she did not fit for the time in which she lived. Like, she was comfortable in her skin, wanted to do what she wanted to do, fuck everybody else. Like, she did not conform. And that is one thing I loved about her.
You get that time with her in Paris where you really see how, like, the right people in your world can nurture and help you grow and achieve.
Yeah.
And I think one of my favorite scenes is when she takes the fan into the dining room and her uncle's like, are you hot? Like, he was so dumb sometimes.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, a lady must have her fan as an accessory in case a gentleman gets too handsy. And he's all like, Who's getting handsy?
But it's one of those things where, like, her aunt saw her. I mean, her uncle did too, but he was kind of just there.
He was wallpaper in this book.
He was fine. But her aunt, like, nurtured her free spirit, like, encouraged her to be herself. She didn't really encourage the chaos that we meet with Whitney, but she encouraged her to do her thing the way she wanted to. And, like, the fact that she went back, like, when Whitney goes back home to her horrid human being of a father, like, her aunt goes with her to protect her from him, which I thought was good, because I think Whitney needed that. I mean, she could stand up for herself, but she needed somebody on her team at the same time.
Amanda, what were your thoughts on Whitney? Did you like her? Did you find her annoying? Because there are parts actually in the book where I'm like, just shut up. You're so fucking annoying.
Yeah, there's that.
I liked her a lot. And I think the only parts that may have suffered from me finding her annoying was that there were just scenes in this book that could have been left out. It was just, it was long. And I think maybe if some of that had been trimmed, I don't think I would have found her annoying at all. And overall I didn't. Like, I liked her a lot. I liked, you know, her gumption. I liked the fact that she just, you know, she went after what she wanted. She was not any kind of, like, shrinking violet. I mean, you know, the communication at times was lacking, but that was all around. I mean, you know,
that was, like, on overall, all fronts.
Overall, all, like, fronts. I liked her a lot. I mean, she's the best part of this book.
Well, the scene where, and we're jumping ahead quite a bit here, the wedding scene after he's called off the engagement, but she doesn't know that he's called off the engagement. And then when she finds out, it was a lot of miscommunication.
Yeah.
Well, but that was, like, a common theme throughout this book, is there's miscommunication, there's deception, there's lying, there's, like, this need to, like, hold on to her independence, but also, like, she fell in love with this idiot who treated her like crap.
It's really bad.
And so it's like she was trying, but she was still naive enough that, like,
I do question her choice in men, though, because
yeah.
Paul needed
But
like
there are
a
a lot
series
of
of
options for
like
her, though.
waterboarding or swirling. Like, he needed bullied.
We needed a swirly
Yeah.
They're
In the
so much older than
outhouse.
her. I mean, I get it, but she's like 15 going out there trying to trap a man at a picnic. I was like, Wendy.
Good for her, though.
He would.
Good for her to
Paul
go
was
for it.
so
He was a skeeve. He was a
stupid.
skeevy.
That's why 15-year-olds shouldn't be trying to trap husbands.
Well,
Like,
yes.
because, I
Yeah,
mean,
but it
you
was like, but in that time, like,
No, I know.
some 15-year-olds were getting married,
I
which
know. I was just like, come on, he's terrible.
he is.
he was a horrid. Was there a term for a gold digging husband?
I don't know. Maybe. A
We should look it up.
scoundrel?
No, he was a tool.
He was a tool. One of my favorite scenes is after the dinner party when he's Clay Westland, and they've come for dinner, and after dinner she stays and they play chess together.
Yeah, that's a really good
Oh,
scene.
I would love character art of that scene. I just
wait.
with the fire and they're just so cozy. I don't know.
I have to tell you what the AI gave me. While gold digger typically implies a female, the male equivalent is often referred to as a gigolo.
A gigolo. Stacy asked if it was a lout.
Oh, that's
Apparently
probably the
not.
historically correct term.
Yeah. I don't know. He was Paul.
An
So
uncouth and aggressive man or boy is a lout.
a lout.
I
What were
mean,
our
it would
thoughts
fit.
on Elizabeth, who is kind of like
A
the
ditz.
villain in the story, but she didn't
She doesn't
do
even know
anything.
she's a villain.
She
Like,
didn't
she's
even. Like,
But do
she's
you
like
all have that?
unintentionally a villain.
Okay, but wait, let's be real here, guys. Do you guys have that one person that you kind of look at and side eye and think, I fucking hate them? But in the real sense of things, you don't even know them. Like, my grandmother had this hatred of Reba McEntire. Like, I never understood. Like, you would mention her
Why?
name and she would be like, damn her, like, just lose it. And they never even knew each other. Like, it's just,
That's
anyway.
really
But
funny.
do you have someone in your life like that that you're kind of like, I hate them, but I don't even really know them.
Maybe like
No.
acquaintances. Like, I'm just like,
There are tons of people on BookTok. I feel that way.
Oh, well, yeah. But I mean,
Yeah,
people
but
I've actually met in
that's
real life,
different. Yeah.
maybe.
Or someone in school, like grade
Yeah, probably in
school. I
school.
mean, in like school and stuff, like growing up, yeah, there were
Yeah.
definitely people I felt that way, but I knew
Right?
them, so the hate was valid.
Like Stacy says, they were
Small school
jealous of each
friends.
other without knowing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they totally were. But Elizabeth was a little bit ditzy though, too, so I think it was like nobody realized like what was happening
Yeah,
there.
probably. So the this book one, let's talk about Clayton before we get to the next thing. So let's talk about
Okay.
Clayton. He's obviously a little bit of an alpha hole. There's a lot of power imbalance. Clayton basically buys Whitney from her father, which her father
Yes.
is a tool, and I kind of hoped that a horse ran him over. I think Whitney
Yeah,
was
or
very kind
just
to
kicked
forgive
him
him.
real hard. Just a
Yeah.
good hard kick.
Well, yeah.
Because that hurts.
We definitely have this he force seduction, which again wasn't really a seduction. He kidnaps her
So,
and
I think
forces
the problem
himself on
with
her.
Clayton. So, Clayton is kind of a hoe. And he's never had to work for it. Because,
Yeah, he's probably never been told no.
like
Yeah.
the women around him were like, oh, he's Clayton Westmoreland or whatever. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, he is this lord who is important and people want to be on his arm. And so, like, he's never had to work for a woman's attention. And Whitney meets him and she does not like him from the get-go because she thinks that he is small-minded and mean, essentially. And so, she does not want to give him attention and he doesn't know what to do with that.
And she's convinced that she's in love with Paul too. So, I mean,
Yes.
she's, you know, there's that going on.
The thing is in that scene, where he forces himself on her, she probably would have agreed had he talked to her.
But
he never had to talk to them
That's
before.
true. That is true.
So he is complete, I'm not giving him like a pass, but he is completely out of his element because he has no idea what to do with a strong female who has opinions, who has like
Well, he
self-worth,
says early on in the
and
book
doesn't just
that
want to shtup him.
he thought about making her his mistress until he
Yeah.
realized that that wouldn't work. And Stacy says, I like how she had no he had she had no idea they had a meet cute, and he was the only one who recognized her costume. And it was actually they had a couple of meet cutes that she just was the belle of the ball and surrounded by friends, and never, even though he was like the star of the room, she never paid attention to him.
Well, because he was insignificant to her.
But then in revealing that, then we realize he's been like watching her since she was 15. And then I was like, that was when I was like, okay. I was like, all right, man, like
You're a
you're
little
in your
creepy.
late 20s when she's 15 and you're like creeping around thinking about making her your mistress. I was like, okay.
It's
I was like, I
historical, so
tried
I
to
just
divorce
keep
myself from
see
that, but I
like
had a
the
hard
age
time.
like I feel like when I read historical, like the age is just
I was
what's the
okay
point
with
of even
dog
putting the
ears.
age there?
I was okay like at her being like 19 and him being in his 30s, because I was like, okay, there's gonna be a power imbalance, and I was fine until he goes and tells her he's been creeping on her since she was 15. I was like, okay.
Well, I just look at it like historical age is like dog years. For every one real year, it's really 7 years. Because they're gonna die by the time they're 60 anyway.
It's like
Yeah,
in
I know. I have
Aliens
to
and like
like
monsters,
retrain.
like aliens and monsters, age isn't important. It makes no difference because they could be 100
Yeah, I
and
have to go with this
20.
like a paranormal. I have to.
Exactly.
I
You
know.
have to just take age out of the equation.
Wait,
It's not
have
creepy at
either of you
all.
looked at the YouTube chat? Kelly
I have.
says, I
Yes.
hated a 4-year-old and had no idea why. But wait, I hated the 4-year-old in the last decade.
Not when she was a
Not when I
child.
was a child.
That's such a Kelly thing to say.
I mean,
I love
4-year-olds are
you,
annoying,
Kelly.
so I get
Honestly,
it.
I will say that I don't like a lot of people's children, so I probably felt that way also.
Okay, so the angst in this book, I want to talk about the angst because, like, just when you think things are gonna even out,
And the book is going to
something
end.
else
They're going to have their
happens.
happily ever
Something goes
after.
off the
Ooh,
deep end.
but wait,
Yeah, it
there's
was like
more.
they're married and happy at 80%. And I was like, what is going to
Well,
happen
and
for
see
the last 20% of this book?
that was my issue with the book. Like, I like the storyline. I like the chaos, that the mess, because it's messy.
It's so
And
messy.
I love messy. But it was just too much. It was like they hit this point and like they were content. And then they fuck it up. And you go through all of it again. And it's not just one or the other. Like, it is a joint fuck up.
But I feel like, so we have that moment where she goes to his family estate to talk to him.
Oh yeah, I actually just like was re like skimming through and I just reread that scene.
I loved the brother. When he's like, well, or it was the mother maybe, was like, you've started it, you stay and finish it.
Yeah,
Because
that
it.
was, I think his mom said that, but it was like they were both in cahoots to be like, okay, you need to figure this out.
But I
Like,
appreciated that they supported her.
yeah.
Like, because they thought that he was being an idiot.
Yes, the brother has the book Until You. It's the next book in this saga, and it's amnesia trope. It's really
But
well done.
it's not the chick who he was like pining for, like at the end of this book, though it's somebody new.
Somebody
Oh,
completely
really? I
different.
didn't look ahead to see. Okay.
Well, no, the only reason I know is because I was really curious, because I was like, oh, that's a really nice connection, like that she's creating. But no, like that girl goes and d does marry that dude. And this, it like his book is somebody completely different.
And didn't even look. I just assumed that was the next book that he was. Okay.
He
You
is the
can't
next
assume
book.
with
I
Judith
know,
McNutt. I should not.
She likes it wild. How long is
Kelly
this book?
said, how long is the book?
739 pages.
No, I think
Like
she means
the next
like
one?
this
Oh,
one,
the next
Kelly, or the
book?
next one?
The
Here,
next
let
one
me
is
look
not
for
as
you.
long. The next one is
No,
not as
it's.
long. And also, I just want you to t I just want to say 700 pages doesn't feel long in a mass market.
No,
No,
I
because
mean,
it's small.
yeah, and I'm not saying like that I haven't read books that are that
No,
long, obviously. I mean, I have,
it was
but I
long.
just there was
I would have been fine with him forgiving her. We're getting married. You're not leaving here. End. Or even the
Yeah.
wedding. End. I didn't need that last
Yeah.
half where he finds the note and assumes she had a lover and that it's their baby and it's pawning it off on him. And
And I also could have, like, we could have, I would have been fine skipping some large parts of the beginning and just picked up, like, had a brief synopsis of her time
In Paris.
with her father, or no, like going straight to Paris, because I feel like that's where, that's where she kind of blossoms. Like, we get a lot of her, current history, like with her father or whatever, but I feel like it really starts moving when you get to Paris. So I feel like the first part could have
And
even been condensed.
I think part of it, like we needed that scene like with her on the horse and like doing
Yeah.
all that stuff. I think that was important, but I think like the it could have been like him sending her off, and then we get like the backstory of her and
Yeah.
the dad through conversation, like with the aunt
Yeah.
or something
Exactly.
like that. Like having so much in like part, and that's the thing, it's broken up into three parts. Like you get part one, part two, part three. And so it was a lot
Yeah.
that could have been simplified in the way it was portrayed.
Yeah.
And I think even like with like the whole thing with Paul, like in the first part, like I could have like done without Paul completely. I thought Nicholas, when she was in Paris, was a much more
Yes.
interesting like other
Yeah, I
person
agree.
for to like bring out
Well,
like who she really was.
and I liked how she put Nicholas in a box, basically.
Yeah.
He got
Yeah.
friend zoned like hard, and then he fell for
He
her.
does have a book too, though,
He
also.
does. He
Oh,
does.
okay. Yeah,
And
he has a book
it's,
too.
yeah. I think it's like a nanny. She's a governess, I think, that he falls in love with.
Let me look.
Let Leah look. I do agree. I don't know that we needed the early stuff in the village. I also think the village part where Clayton comes to the village after Paris when she's been brought home, like the horse race scene was great. The picnic, she gets spanked in the woods, which
Yeah.
I didn't mind her getting
It did. She
spanked.
is like the nanny of like the daughter from Until You. Like there
Yeah.
is a child that she nannies
Yeah.
or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I
An
thought
au
so.
pair, perhaps. But yeah.
And I read it. It's good. Don't worry.
Well, and he deserves that because he was a good guy and a good friend.
Yeah.
I mean, poor guy just got he
I
got
did like the
boxed
scene in
hard.
the village where Clayton has had enough of everybody in the village talking about her and Paul. So he makes her go to the village. And then, oh, what's the mean girl's name? Her bully.
Well, there's more than one, so it's hard to tell.
I don't
One that was like, I
remember.
think I left my parasol in your
Oh, yeah. The one that keeps
carriage.
trying to get with Clayton.
Yes.
Vanessa, that one?
Yeah, I think so,
No,
Vanessa. I think
Vanessa
that's
was
right. Because,
his
no, Vanessa's the
mistress.
one
That was his
that
mistress. Oh.
no. Vanessa was the one who they
Margaret. It was
were.
Margaret.
Vanessa was the
Okay.
one who was at the dinner with
Oh,
his
that's
mom
right.
and brother. Because
It,
so there are multiples. It's
there was
really
lots
hard
of
to keep
women.
track. There was a lot of women. Well, and then like at one point there was the mistress that he had at the beginning of the book that like shows back
Oh,
up.
that was like
The opera
the
singer.
singer
And
or
he goes
yeah.
with her, and Whitney is like devastated, but he's like, I'm teaching you a lesson, basically.
He is so dumb.
He's such a dummy.
So many people give credit to Clayton as being one of the OG alpha heroes. He's the guy you want to punch sometimes, but can't help but swoon over. He's problematic, sure, but without him, people do not feel that there would be like a Christian Grey type hero or
mean, I agree with those statements aside from the swooning. I don't think
Yes,
I
I
want to
was just gonna
swoon.
say the
Like,
same
he is
thing.
problematic. He is an alpha
Well,
hole, but he wasn't very swoony for me.
see,
me
and I
either.
think there were little moments like that chess scene, or when he well, he's not really swoony. He was when she comes down in her like chambermaid outfit, and they go for the walk, and he's like, "I'm not gonna put my coat down. Your rags can get dirty."
Yeah.
It's not that he's swoony, he just had those moments where like he was doing the work. And so I was like, okay, good. Like, this is the effort you need to put into this relationship.
Stacy felt there were moments of swoon, so
Well,
the
I mean,
wedding scene when he comes up behind
I did
her.
like the wedding scene. Okay, you're right. There are a
That
couple
is
moments.
okay. That's probably, yeah.
You
The
are
one,
it's the only one.
Maybe there might have been two in all 739
I mean, I
pages.
would say out of all of us that Leah and I love the alpha holes the most.
You
Me
do.
too.
You do.
Right?
I
love an asshole.
do.
Yeah, I mean, and we're pretty widespread in our love of them, but he
Yes.
didn't do it for me.
He has
It's not that I,
problems.
he's just one of those heroes where, like, I'm still not sure if I like
Yeah,
him
same.
at the end of the book. Like, I love an alpha hole. I love an asshole, but I have to like them at the
Yeah.
end of the book. And I like with him, he did her dirty so many times that I'm not sure if he is worthy of her.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing too, is we like her so much that he just doesn't, we don't think he deserves her
Like,
kind of
Whitney
thing.
is up here and he's
Yeah.
like down here and he's has to get up to her level. And I think Amanda's right. Like, she's such a strong character that he, it's not that he fell flat. He was very like well written, well established, well rounded, but he just wasn't enough
Yeah. Stacy
to make me
felt
really
when
believe
he
them.
bathes her and not turning it sexual was a
Was a
nice moment
Well, I
too.
mean, she was running 105 fever. I feel like that was just,
Yeah,
maybe
but
like the
he's
bare
douchey
minimum.
enough that, yeah, but he's douchey enough
Right? Isn't that,
he could
wasn't
have.
she
Yeah.
running a fever, or
Yeah.
am I confusing that with something else?
No,
No,
that was when she
she's
was
okay.
sick. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, real quick though, I do have to say, when he gets the doctor to come
Oh,
because
gosh.
she said she hurt her knee, and
Yeah.
her nanny is like dying and not sure if he's gonna, and
Then
her
she's
aunt
like,
just
"You're
gets
not gonna
drunk.
examine me," and he's like, "I assure you that I'm a trained
He's
medical
like, I have to.
professional." Like,
I have to.
oh no,
Yeah.
she says the bath happens at the end when he comes to grovel at his mom's house.
Okay.
But he
All
does
right.
something when she's sick too. Like, 'cause she is like super sick for 3 or 4 days. Well, and he like panics about it. Is that
I
this
think,
book?
yeah.
No, that was in
No,
the
I think that was
that was
the
in the
work of
mine.
the Maya Banks.
Yeah,
The
that's in the
Maya
Maya
Banks. Yeah,
Banks
okay.
one. Yeah,
Yeah.
because he panicked that she was going to die.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the
Okay.
Maya Banks. We, you know.
Also an asshole of a character.
But I liked him.
But I did like him too. He was worthy.
I do think that it's a matter of Whitney is so dynamic. And so that leads to my next question. Did Clayton grovel enough to be forgiven?
I don't like I think Whitney thought it was okay, so it's okay, but like I for me no.
No, for
I
you.
yeah, I agree with that statement because I think he should have done more, but I think that since she was content with it, and there
Yeah.
was it was like satisfactory groveling, I just feel like she should have really like held on strong before she was like, okay.
Yeah, and at that point, I just needed the book to be over, so
Also
I
that
was just gonna
too.
say that too. I was like, yeah, and at that point, like they had been through so much that it was just like, okay, let's just be
They'd been through
happy.
the trenches.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as
So,
someone who's
yeah.
been married, and not that they were married that long, but someone who's been married a long time, like you have your big spurt of a fight, and then it's like, just say you're sorry so we can be done. Like, I just need it to be over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, like, if we get into like There's not a lot of groveling. It's just like an I'm sorry, and then we move on. Like grovels don't really
So
happen, so.
Stacy says, I think in the moment, yes, but depending on how he acts in the future and makes change
The
promised, I
changes
will
promise, yeah.
tell you, he becomes the doting, devout husband in the next two books.
Then
That's good.
yes,
Like,
groveling is okay.
over the top, he, because it's referred to, like, are you going to be to his brother? Like, are you going to be in her pocket as much as Clay is in Whitney's pocket?
Whitney's.
Like, she leads him by the nose.
Not by the
That's
nose, though.
probably not by the nose, but you know what I know.
Well, then groveling was appropriate.
Yeah. He does go on. The other piece I think is interesting to talk about is this book is very in line to what was happening in the mid to late 80s and the early 90s. And that is these deep-seated family sagas. And this was during the height of Dynasty, Falcon's Crest, Santa Barbara. What are some of the others? I know there's more.
Dallas, Knots
Dallas, yeah.
Landing, all of
Landing.
those.
So this book and its historical presence was that, you know, modern day, everybody was like obsessed.
It's soap opera in book
Yeah.
form.
And it's also the height of the Danielle Steel family sagas. You know, Danielle Steel writes the book and it was hardback, it
Instant
was
bestseller.
instant bestsellers, you know, charting for weeks, you know, sometimes a couple years. And so when publishing puts a book like this out, they wanted it long. And also because publishing between was longer. So it was that, you know, deep saga, lots of emotion.
And that's the thing, when you look back at like when it was written and like what you watched on TV and what was in print, like it was very like on brand.
And I think these are the kind of books we're going to start to see in the next 12 to 18 months coming out of publishing. The Thornbirds, these deep, long family angsty sagas. This is what I think we will start to see.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I like that, obviously. I mean, I love the Nora Roberts books that do that, but I like it when you get multiple couples in one book. You know what I mean? Like if we had seen like part of his brother's relationship or, you know, some other kind of like side piece, I think that would have made it more easy for me for it to have been that long. You know what I mean?
Because you only get a little bit of Peter and Elizabeth. You don't get enough of them.
Yeah. It's just really small.
And this book starts after her best friend has already found her guy in London.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this the one part does, yeah.
So Stacy calls it a bonus romance. She says she loves a bonus romance. So I agree. I do think that this book, it would have helped the pacing, the moving of the story, had we had a bonus romance within it.
Well, and that's the thing that wouldn't have seemed like so daunting with all these things happening if there was that added element of like the courtship of somebody else.
Okay, is there anything else we need to talk about in this before we go to the next part?
I don't think so.
Think we talked about like everything that I had noted. Yeah.
Do we get it all?
It was
Yeah, I
just
think so.
chaotic and messy and
It was so chaotic and so messy.
Yeah, but
Okay.
we actually like every because I randomly like I'll type things as I'm reading, and I think everything that I typed about, like we talked about, so.
Excellent. Okay, so is this a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways. Where's it at for you?
I'm gonna say thumbs sideways only because like I think it's an important book. Like I'm glad that I read it. I'm glad that I know where it's at. I feel like some readers like I had would maybe have a hard time with this if they've not read books like this before, just for the power dynamics, the length of the book. But I mean, I'm glad I read it, and I think, you know, Whitney is a fantastic character, so I'm gonna kind of.
I agree. Okay, what do you got, Leah? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Mine is a thumbs up. I do have like agree with Amanda on like a lot of her points, but I think because Whitney is written the way that she is, and she like even like this book being 30, almost 40, actually 40 years old since it is
40 years old.
2025 now. This book being 40 years old, that such a strong female character was created, it was a big thing, because you didn't see that. Because I mean, you figure 40 years ago, women were still
Well, no, still,
not.
yeah. So for me, it's a thumbs up. It is a reread of it in this era of Becky was different. It did, there were things I didn't love. I'd forgotten how long it was. But I feel like this title and several of these older titles hold an important piece within our history of romance. There's value in it, even if you don't love it. And, there are people who aren't going to like it. Like, we very specifically told Jenny, do not.
Don't read
This is
this.
not for you. For a couple reasons. She doesn't like third person, multiple points of view, head hopping. And she also, consent struggles with that quite a bit. So, she needs consent. She doesn't struggle with consent. She needs there to be clear consent. So I'm realistic of that. I think that one of the things that I think it's important that we read this and why I say thumbs up still is because if we go forward and we look at where this book was in 1985, and then you look at The Duke and I in 2001, because that also has a questionable, non-consensual scene, you look how far romance came in just the, because it wasn't him in The Duke and I that was non, you know, that was. That was out of line. It was her.
Was the aggressor, yeah.
And I feel like we have to hit some of these steps to know what's going to work going forward. Does this book age perfectly? I don't think that it.
It does. It doesn't age perfectly, but it ages well. But I think the fact that it's historical is why it aged as well as it did. Like, had
Yeah,
it
and
been a
for its time,
contemporary,
yeah.
like, it would not have aged well at
I
all,
think it
I don't
ages
think.
okay because it's England and not the Americas.
Yes.
So we don't have a lot of our problematic history in it, which like a lot of the, like Joanna Lindsay's we the and Jude Devereaux's the history in the it's kind of, the
But
problematics of
the
whitewashing the West.
historicals themselves age better than contemporaries because of the way the time in which they're written. Like, there's not tech or pop culture things in them.
It's just the indigenous representation. It's the, land grabs and stuff like that. But so I'm glad that we read this. It still is a
Yeah,
thumbs up
same.
for me. I think that it's good to know where we're coming from so that we can be where we're at. I also feel like this should be hope for authors because I think total Judith McNaught published 12 books.
Oh, is that it, really?
She does not have
I
a
don't
big
think it's
backlist.
very
Oh,
many.
okay.
There's four in this with the Kingdom of Dreams. The three books that go with Paradise, Tender Triumph, and the other one, and then there's like two other books. So 11 books maybe, 11 or 12 books. But also like different interviews and things that I've read with Judith. She started trying to write books and get published in the early 70s. Her
Yeah.
first book was not published or picked up until 1985.
Yeah, she has that in the author's note. I thought I found that really interesting.
And now she's like a name that is kind of, that name has clout in this genre.
Yeah.
She set a standard and a bar and
So according to Fantastic Fiction, there's 14.
14.
85 to 96.
Yeah, and then she stopped writing.
Oh no, there's 2005.
Which
Sorry,
one
I
was
was looking at the wrong.
2005?
Every Breath You Take was 2005.
And actually, I think that was put as two books in the first book in that series, and they split it in half in 2005. Imagine what she would, Jenny says, imagine what she would have done if it. If there had been indie publishing, and there kind of was at that time, it was vanity pressing. You would pay a press to print and run your book and distribute it, but very rarely did anyone come off of that with success. So, okay. So if people liked this book or want to try something that is like this book, what would you recommend? And I actually went contemporary with my recommendations since the majority of our listeners are contemporary readers.
But I did too.
Before we get to mine, who do you have? Amanda, do you have any?
The only book that I could think of, and I keep saying it, is Dylan Allen's Rivers Wild trilogy. Like,
with 100%. Just
that whole family saga. Like,
and talk about messy.
Yeah, it's so messy. And I just finished book two on audio the other day. So
yeah,
I've got one left. But yeah, I mean, that's that whole just...
So you messy. Know, it,
I'm actually listening to them because it's like watching a soap opera in my brain. So
I love that.
So that was really all I had. And other than, I think maybe probably Montana Sky by Nora Roberts.
Yeah, I could see that.
Has that same kind of, and it's that's an older title. We did Come Sundown, which is yeah, similar, but that's a newer one. But like that has that whole same like family saga situation. I didn't have any historicals because I just really haven't read a lot in a long time. So, well,
and I haven't read a lot in a long time, and all of my historicals are going to be like Judith McNutt and Joanna Lindsay and Jude Devereaux, yeah, because they both wrote like really big family sagas, which is why I went contemporary, because I don't read enough of the newer historicals.
Yeah.
To give like a clear like rec. Leah, what do you have?
So I gave two book specific, but it's really like anything by these authors would work. So The Wrong Bride by Maya Alden. She likes a messy book. There's always other women drama. There's not usually, it's just chaos. There's always like mean girls and mean boys, and it just really anything by her would work. And then I also have The Unwanted Wife by Natasha Anders. She also likes a messy book and deception and things like that in her stories.
So I have Marriage for One by Ella Mays.
Yeah.
And that's because like that's a marriage arranged convenience kind of situation for family messy reasons. The Stopover by T.L. Swan, Terms and Conditions by Lauren Asher, The Devil You Know by Elizabeth O'Rourke, The Tycoon's Revenge by Melody Ann.
Oh, that, yeah. Actually, that whole revenge series would work.
Yeah. Beautiful Bastard by Christina Lauren. I have not read this book, but it came up in a lot of the things that I looked at, and that's Culty by Mariana Zapata.
I haven't read that one.
I haven't read
but
that
one. But I feel like if you want to go like messy, contemporary, slow burn, like she would fit for a lot of those things.
I feel like
Alpha Hole. Well, yeah.
Tome also. Like she likes a beefy book.
The other author I thought of just now as we were talking is Catherine Mara.
Yeah,
because she like
Katharina Mara, like hers, like there's like it's messy. There's deception. There's arranged marriage. There's like
pining for your sister's fiance, and that's the wrong bride. Well, one. And
like the grandmother is like the spearhead for a lot of like the chaos that like is created in those stories. Like there's thought that goes behind like her chaos that she creates, but yeah. It's definitely that whole, actually any of her books would work.
That's what I thought as I was sitting here and you guys were talking. I'm like, those really sound like those could be Catherine Mara books.
Yeah.
The Windsor series by Katharina.
Yeah, the Windsor series.
Okay, so that's it. That's a wrap on this episode. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Whitney, my love. We'll be back Sunday night. We're like in everybody's business this week. We had an author spotlight drop earlier this week. We had Wednesday's episode. We're here tonight. We're back on Sunday. But it's good. It's keeping me out of jail. Um, Okay, so we'll be back Sunday night, 9 p.m. right here on the YouTube. Our topic this week is we're just going to talk about all the things that have been happening in the book world that we want to talk about. We haven't done an episode like this in a while, and so...
lots of things have been happening.
Yeah, well, we have lots to say.
And sometimes just a lunchtime meeting is not enough to get everything off our chests.
No, so we want to share it with you all.
Right. Yeah. We think you all should be a part of one of our chaos calls. So that's what we're talking about Sunday night. And then next week, speaking of messy, because I started and I got 5 chapters in.
Did you finally start? Okay, I'm almost done.
So, because we like messy, next week, we're back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will be reviewing Lilac by B.B. Reed. Yes. Now, this is our title, and I need to put something over on socials and in Discord. If you are someone that has triggers, message one of us so we can give you some content warnings. We will list them in the episode, but this book does not have any content warnings. I did not know that. This is one of those books, and we'll talk about it Wednesday night, but this is one of those books, and whenever you talk about rock star romances, comes up in every search.
Yep.
Yeah. And everyone just talks about how, you know, it's good, it's spicy, whatever. And anyway, it needed content and trigger warnings. So if you have triggers, please message, reach out to Amanda or myself so that we can give you, particularly Amanda, because she's finished. I'm not finished yet.
I haven't even started yet.
So that we can give you some insights for content, because it's really important that we take care of our community.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you for reading Whitney, my love. I'm sorry it was 739 pages.
Oh, it was good. I was glad I started like a little earlier than I normally do, because I would have been in trouble if I hadn't, and we did it on time. So
Same. Because, you know, I'm usually rolling in on like a Tuesday night read. So
yeah, I did not know it was so beefy. So I feel bad.
I have to schedule my like podcast reading so that I know that I get it done.
Same. So anyway, thank you everybody for hanging out on a special edition on Friday night. Until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at @BuzzingAboutRomance or on Twitter at @BuzzingRomance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.